The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Like I said, I always go for the finish. Doesn't matter if it's stand up on the ground, that's what I want to do.
Ilir, the sledgehammer, Latifi!
Elbows. Nasty elbows.
I want to say everybody knows the UFC Octagon, the Shark Tank. I'm the baby shark and I'm hungry.
Tabitha, baby shark, Richie!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Jimmy.
Welcome to, sorry, Matt. I was going to say, I apologize. I'm starting by apologizing because can you hear it in the background?
Yeah,
they're doing some work here.
Is that a dust buster? What is that?
No, they're vacuuming outside because I'm still getting a lot of work done here. It's quieter though. There's not the constant banging, but I'm going to try to keep my hand over the mute button when that's happening. I'm just saying this now. We have a good show today. Our first guest, we have Tabitha Ricci. She's coming on in just a little bit. And Ilir Latifi, we will get in just a moment. He's fighting Alexei Oleinik on a Saturday night. That's a great fight. I can't believe those guys have never fought before.
Hey, they were supposed to fight before, though.
Three times. This is like your third time, yeah.
Times. Hey, and also, I like to keep things like fresh for our audience. Guys, I just saw the text. Should I read this later? Something about Steve-O?
No. I'll tell you what happened. I interviewed Steve-O this morning on the radio with Sam. And he's promoting a new book, and he mentioned Unfiltered to me. He's like, do I have anything about that? So I was like, I thought maybe he was on today or next week. So they are working on getting Steve-O back on, who's a great guest. And he was really fun today.
I am happy that I asked about that because I saw it right there and I didn't read it. And now the world found out when I found out. Jimmy, I'm more with it than I was the other day. Where, you know why? Because I started the day.
Why?
I started the day with jujitsu. I got up early. And you know, you see all these things with all these guys that train and they're motivational. And they're like, I'm getting up at 30, 4:30, 5:30. I get it. But I'm not getting up to do burpees. I'm telling you right now. I will hit
burpees suck.
Well,
burpees suck.
Right. It doesn't always have to be something that sucks, is what I'm saying, bro.
Right, absolutely.
Like I get things moving, even though I'm not training live, which I'm going to start. I'm going to start with my kids soon because I could, you know, my 13-year-old, that's around. I want to, you know, just with my leg, just to get moving the timing. But I'm still teaching like a motherfucker. So two classes a day, that's 2 hours on the mat, whatever. Three classes a day is three. It makes me feel balanced. Does that make sense?
It sure does,
Otherwise, I get very pent up. When I walk around, I go,
yeah.
You don't want that, Jimmy.
No.
I'm going to bump into me. I'm going to bend.
What do you say, Matt? We bring in, is this Ilir Latifi's first time on our show?
How dare you? He's been on the show before to promote his fight with Alexei Oleinik.
I didn't remember. My memory is really
I remember asking him, is he worried about that naked front strangle that the naked Ezekiel choke on his neck. And then I realized that Aliyah does not have a neck. So why would he be worried? Let's get him in.
That's a great point. Yeah, let's bring him in.
But I remember talking to this gentleman. How do you forget a face like that?
Hi, Aliyah.
Hello.
We got him.
How you doing,
How are
man?
You? How are you?
Great. Enjoying Vegas. Great weather in Vegas. It's fight week.
It is fight week. Now, yeah. You were supposed to fight Alexei before. How, like two other times, right?
Yeah, yeah. So back in March, we're scheduled to fight then. Fight week. You know, Matt, Sarah, fight week, anything can happen. Crazy things happen, you know. And nice. I got a very bad stomach infection, food poisoning, and I tried to reschedule the fight 2 weeks after, but like I was still recovering, you know, on antibiotics and stuff. So
yeah,
wow. That's what happened. So, but now we're here, you know, and it's fight week, and it's amazing.
Do you know what you ate that got you sick? Because I'm so paranoid. Like before I fly, I won't eat fish, I won't eat sushi. Do you know what it was?
I have no idea. You know, the crazy thing is I was very careful what I eat and stuff. Like I only eat the prepared food from the UFC. But something hit me, you know. And
some guy, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, you know. So, but, you know, now we're here.
You trained with your opponent on Saturday. You trained with Alexei before, correct? You guys had some training before?
Yeah, well, we used to train back in ATT a couple of times. Not very much, but, you know. We did some trainings together, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. You trained a little bit. All right.
Now, yeah.
You know, listen, I asked you this before. I'm going to ask you again. That the Ezekiel he does, a lot of guys would be worried about it. I go, Jimmy, you think he's worried? Jimmy goes, come on, he has no neck. I go, Jimmy, that's kind of rude. He has a neck. But if you go like this, look, if you just act confused like this, the guy, there's nothing there to do. You're a block. He can't. There's no neck. I'll tell you right now. If he gets the fucking.
I'm like you, Matt, sir. I'm like you. Same.
I'm telling you, 19 inches, 19 and a half.
What is your neck? The same. Nah, but you got to give the Mac cred. You know, the guy has over 60 victories, you know, and he's a master at what he does. So. I think a lot of guys, when they fight him, they underestimate him or his skills, you know, but that's nothing that I do. You know, I know he's very good at what he does. And even like understanding how he fights, you know, he sees fights against, I think it was Mark Hunt and Alistair, you know, he goes for it, you know, so he's there to fight. He's a real warrior, you know, and he's this old school guy, you know, not so much talk, but when he comes in to fight.
He's pretty incredible too. When you see a guy at 45 years old, fighting as often as he fights, as competitive as he's fighting, yeah. Fighting the caliber of, like he's not taking any easy fights. Nah. Do you find that as a guy who's, you're 39, do you find that encouraging? Like, hey, there's a bunch of years left of fighting if I just do the right thing and eat the right thing and take care of myself.
Of course. I mean, he's an example. He and some other guys, you know, you fight smart and you believe in what you do, your work. There's no limits, you know, on how long you can fight. I think it's the balance of training right, training smart, and fighting smart, you know. So, and of course, you gotta have the will and dedication, and that he loves fighting, you know. That's his life.
I wonder if some of his victories are because people are underestimating him, like for real. Like we're Verdum. If you look at him in Verdum, you're like, all right, that's a bad matchup because Verdum's got to be the better grappler.
Yeah.
And then you see Verdum go to finish him, and he was almost like a turtle in a shell. Like he'd clam up, and then he'd come out on top, and he ended up beating Verdum, which was in a grappling match. He ended up beating him, getting out and got out of a tight Kimura. And so it's like, I wonder if guys are going in, they're going, all right, he's, you know, he's got that choke, but he's kind of old, he's kind of bent over. But there is, I think he's one of those guys when you get in there, with a lot of people, it's different being in there with them than it is watching a tape of them. Would you agree with that?
Of course, that's totally, totally right. It's different being inside and fighting him and watching, you know. And, you know, that's some fighters, you know, you don't get so impressed when you see them outside. But when they're fighting them, it's a totally different story, you know. So I think that's the kind of fighter he is.
Have you changed it? You said training smart. Have you changed anything in your training in the last few years to give yourself more longevity? Like a lot of guys won't spar as much. Is there anything that you've switched up to give yourself more time?
To be honest, I just like, I've been better on listening to my body, you know, like the body's like, it's the most complicated and amazing, I mean, machine, if you want to call it, you know, but sometimes we push it too hard, you know, so it's the balance of pushing hard, not getting lazy and say, oh, I need time to recovery, but knowing the balance when you need time to fill up, to get stronger, you know. So, and I think coming from a background of wrestling, when everything is about pushing hard, like you're always on that red zone, we came from that mentality, you know what I mean? It's like wrestlers, it's a crazy way of training in life, you know, and learning a little bit from other sports, like from CrossFit or whatever, you know, or boxing, you know, and seeing the difference a little bit, you get some good things of planning.
Now, did you recently, with training, now you listen to your body and whatnot, but you were coming off a few losses, but then it's like hitting the reset button because you righted the wrong, and next thing you know, you got that win over Tanner Boser. Yeah. So did something change? Like, there's a lot of pressure, man. I know how it's.
I came from three losses, but those, I mean, some of those fights were very close. There was fights that I could have won. Derrick Lewis fight, a lot of people thought that I won that fight. I mean, I fought Corey Anderson. It was a three-rounder war, you know. Also, like, a close fight. So, I mean, sometimes you come from three losses, but it doesn't mean, like, oh, people a lot of times when they come, they're like, oh, I got to change everything. No, sometimes it's just a close fight, you know. It wasn't your day. Yeah. And a lot of times I think fighters try to, like, oh, I'm doing something wrong. No, it was just not your day. But sometimes you have to evaluate, right? Am I training right? Is it the right way? So, I mean, that's important to have a good team around you and evaluate everything, you know, like, was I doing something wrong or was it just a bad way? Because, I mean, you see a lot of fights that it's in the judges' hands, you know?
Yeah.
And how much better? I know you came up to heavyweight, and how good does it feel in fight week to not be obsessed with the weight? Oh,
it's a big relief. To be honest, like, I think, like, I mean, in all combat sports, you see with years, fighters go up in weight. You rarely see the fighters fight the same weight all their life, you know, all their career, you know. I mean, been wrestling since I was 6 years and combat sports all my life. After a while, you know, weight cuts take a toll, you know. And people that don't fight don't really understand. I mean, you can have personal trainers, strength and conditioning coach, but people don't really understand how much weight cuts drain you before a fight, you know? And I was always against people cutting a lot of weight because I always said, like, when the tough gets fight, it's going to end up how good you recover from your weight cuts, you know? Because we're in the end, we're just humans all, you know? So, we see a time like people just like really really feeling bad, you know, in the fights, like, oh, why he didn't train. No, it's not that he didn't train, he was a beast in training, but in the training he was walking around 200 pounds, you know, and now fight week he cut all that weight, you know, and it drains you. So yeah. I don't believe fighters should cut weight, and I think it's good with all the real regulations they did. But of course, when you fight in heavyweight, you can eat, but of course there's another problem. Now you're fighting guys that are heavy hitters, you know, and when you make that step, I was talking about that. When you make that step from 205 to heavyweight, 265, you're not really going up one weight class. You're going up two or three weight classes. Because you're fighting guys that cut their weight. I mean, some of these guys walk around 300 pounds and they cut to 265, you know? So you're not really going up only one weight class, like right. From 185 to 205. You got to be ready to fight guys that are like big, a lot bigger than you. So I can understand like John Jones taking his time, building himself up for the weight class, because these guys are bigger, punch harder, you know, and your body's got to be able to handle that weight.
Right, but you think that like, even though it's a tough, again, you are fighting bigger guys, stronger guys, it's still the advantage is still that you're not cutting the weight, so at least your body is, like, either way, it's tough, but this is better for you.
For sure, for sure. I feel better, you know. I've always been a strong guy, so there was never a problem. So, but just, like, not needing to cut that crazy weight, I mean, cutting 30, 35 pounds, it was just, like, too draining.
Well, listen, right. There's plenty of, you can look at examples like Robert Whittaker, Gilbert Burns, those guys, they're different. I mean, they had like different careers when they went up a weight class.
Exactly.
I mean, it's crazy.
I think we would see a lot of other fighters have longer careers and like you said, they would perform better going up one weight class.
Yeah, Kelvin Gastelum. And then there's guys like Jose, which I get it's much different when you're that much lighter, who goes down a weight class, which is much more rare.
Yeah. I mean, Brazilians love to cut a lot of weight, you know. They're famous for that. Like, first time I trained with some Brazilians, they were like, saying, oh, you should fight 170. I'm like, 170? I'm going to cut off both my legs if I'm fighting 170. So, I mean, it's a culture thing, but I just believe, like, be strong. And I mean, Matt, sir, you wasn't, like, the biggest guy in your division?
Shit, man. It's funny. I saw a thing the other day with I think it's one of the lightweights, the Tarantula or something. And then Frank Yeager, they go, the Tarantula is 6 foot something. And Frank Yeager got the title at 5'6" at lightweight. I go, yo, I got the welterweight title at 5'6", motherfucker.
That's what I mean. So, I mean, just like, I just believe, like, be a beast in your way, you know, do your thing. Because everybody, oh, they're so tall. For me, it's the same thing. They're tall in 205. They're going to be tall in 185. They're going to be tall in heavyweight. So just, like, adapt your style of fighting to how you're built, you know?
Aaliyah, I used to tell all the tall ladies I try to date, we're all the same size on the floor. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's a 5'6" guy. Yeah, I try to hit on them. But anyway, Aaliyah, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And I like what you said before. When you have, it says you have these L's. There's more to that. Some people, they want to all reinvent the wheel, but meanwhile, they don't have to. They switch teams. They do this or that. Yeah. And then they all get fucked up. Sometimes you're like, all right, look, you're right there. Look at the fight. You're right. Either the judges didn't get it right or, look, a couple corrections here and there. You're right fucking there.
Exactly. You know, it's small marginals sometimes, you know. So a lot of times people want to make fun. Oh, what did I like? Hey, man, it's a fight, you know.
Well, wow, this is your first fight in 15 months since Bozer, correct?
Yeah.
Since you got the eye poke. How bad was that? And was there a point where you thought, like, I don't know if I'm going to compete again?
It was a point. It was very bad. I got totally blinded. And, you know, they rushed me out to the emergency and, like, stuff. And I didn't understand what happened because I thought my eye was swollen because I couldn't see during the fight. So when I come out, I'm like, is my eye very swollen? And the doctor said, no, your eye is fine outside. Like, but the eyeball was punctured. So I was totally blind. And it was like a crazy feeling because I never thought something like that could happen, you know. And, you know, it took a couple of months to start recovering. But I really had to give it time, you know. And eyes are sensitive. So that was a crazy thing to go through, too.
What was the prognosis? Like, did they originally tell you, like, you're definitely going to heal? Or did they say, look, this is 50-50, we don't know?
They actually gave me a 70-30 chance to heal, you know? So, but I was like, I was very determined. You know? So they said, like, right now we can't do nothing. We just got to give you time to rest and heal. So I said, listen, I'm going to get back, you know? It's not going to end like this. So, and... you know, God willing, with time it got better, you know. But it took like 2-3 months until I could get a better sight. It wasn't blurry, you know. But in the first, it was totally blacked out, like blacked out.
Yeah. Were you afraid you were going to get a Bisping? Were you afraid someone's going to fucking...
You know, it's so crazy because I actually, when that happened, I was like, I never thought that what happened to him would happen to me, you know. Yeah. So it says a little bit about this sport. People don't understand because sometimes, you know, some injuries look nothing. Because in the fight, it wasn't a hard punch. It was actually just like the thumbnail. but it was just like a razor blade hit me in the eye. And it was so nasty, and I don't know how I just pushed through it, you know?
Yeah, I guess what is it you see guys fighting with broken jaws or injuries like that? I guess it's the adrenaline that just keeps you going, or thinking that it was swollen. Maybe you didn't obsess on the fact that if you knew it was in the condition it was in, you probably would not have continued, correct?
To be honest, I wasn't just thinking. My coach just said, listen, you just got to keep on pushing, you know? And I just like, I grabbed Dom on him and just continue fighting, you know? And I got to give credit to both. That kid is, he's a tough fighter, you know? He comes out and swinging hard, you know? So it was a challenge, you know? But coming out of that with that pressure of having the losses, you know, behind, it was an important win, you know.
Shit, yeah, man. Jimmy, what do you think? He's got a little boo-boo. He's gonna stop. Oh, you think you might have stopped if you knew he was gonna? Yeah, fuck no, Jimmy. Stop.
Well,
you think that he's a warrior? Ali has a warrior.
But if you know that your eye is blacked out, you might be afraid you're gonna lose your vision and you want to fight again.
You know what? I didn't think about that. I thought my eye was swollen. That's the only thing I thought. My eye was swollen, and I just continued fighting, you know. And like Matt said, you know, this sport, it's a one-of-a-kind sport, you know. All the fighters that fight in this level of fighting, not only in the UFC, but like, they need a lot of credit, because every time we step in there, we put our health on risk, you know. This is not a game. This is not football. This is not basket. This is not even boxing, you know. It's a lot of things that can go wrong, you know. So every time we step in, we're conscious about what can happen, you know, and still challenge yourself. That's why you got to give credit to some guys that just time after time just deliver, you know, to defend their titles, you know, and you know, whatever happens, they come through it, you know. So a lot of credit to all the fighters out there, you know, they're real gladiators, modern day gladiators, you know, and that's why I think that's why so many people admire this sport and the people in it, you know. That's why you see all these artists, musicians hanging around, wanna be UFC fighters, you know. But to be a UFC fighter, to be an MMA fighter, it takes, Matt, you know what it takes. It takes something else.
Yeah,
and it's something that you can't fake, you know.
No, 100%.
Win or lose, people that go in there, they have something else in their spirit, you know.
And right. Every time we go in there, Jimmy's at risk too, because his little heart's frail. He gets nervous.
I get very nervous. I don't want to get hit.
So we're not only putting our lives. He gets nervous, and I tell him, just calm down, you little frail heart. Calm down.
Yes. I had a finger injury from chewing my nails nervously.
Aaliyah, before we let you go, what do you, besides fighting, our fans want to know, Dana's picture you, I seen you on horses and stuff. What do you like to do as in the past, on your hobbies and stuff?
I'm a real nature person, you know, so yes. I like adventures, you know. I told you before, Matt, I'm going to do this nature show after my fighting career.
Tell me again.
My plan is like, Maybe you and Action gonna be my first guest. Action Bronson, you know, he's Albanian too. He's my boy. So I thought about doing this like nature show. We travel around the world, like go to Africa, hang out with some lions, with some leopards and stuff, and just invite fighters, you know, and maybe hang out with some tribal people, you know, because I think they're like, we need to get, like, people need to get back in touch with nature, you know, that's where we came from, you know. And I think in all this civil world that we're living today, like, we're so surrounded by technology, but we forget what really makes us ourselves, you know, where we came from, you know.
Did you always like this when you were a kid, or did you develop?
I was the crazy kid when I went to Albania to the village, I would grab the poisonous snakes and lizards and everything, you know. So I've always been fascinated of that, you know. So probably do something like that after, you know.
That sounds fucking awesome, man. Yeah. Sign me up. Me and Jimmy. Maybe not the one.
We're gonna do a trip.
I don't like the woods. I wouldn't be good. I don't do well in the woods. I don't like bugs. I don't like shitting outdoors. I like hotels. I'm very bad in nature.
But that's why, yeah, I got to get out there, man. You got to, like, you're fragile. You got to be strong again.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
He's afraid he'll be eaten.
I certainly am. By insects. Okay. I don't get bitten by bugs. All right. Well, Aaliyah, look, good luck against Alexei Oleinik. This is a great fight. I'm really happy that you're healed up and everything is okay for you. And this is a great fight. And have a great fight, man. It was good talking to you.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Always a pleasure talking with you guys.
All right. Aaliyah.
Take care, man. Have a good fight.
See you, buddy.
See you, man. See you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, he's great. I've never been an outdoor. I apologize. There's something with my computer is wrong. There it is. Whereas my mouse keeps disappearing and I can't get it back. So I'm trying to scroll through questions or through things I want to look at and I can't. So that's why I'm a little distracted. My computer's all fucked up.
I'm always a lot of distracted. That doesn't change the fact that I showed some nice headlock escapes this morning in honor of Renzo Gracie's fight on the subway.
Yes, that was very impressive.
No, I mean, listen, I tell my guys, listen, once in a while, it's good to review that shit because
yeah,
a guy on the fucking one train is not going to attack you with an X card. He most
right.
Put you in a headlock. You understand?
By the way, Matt, we should say once again, another extremely exciting Dana White Contender Series. I believe that was the season finale. Five contracts awarded. Bo Nichols, an incredible less than a minute stoppage. And of course he calls out, I believe, Shamayev, which I think is kind of ballsy just getting his name out there. But he dropped a beard with a punch and then was just all over him. That was a very, very fast.
26 years old. The guy he fought was on a six or something winning streak. He only had one loss or whatever it was. So it's like, you know, and the guy had reach on him, Donovan Beard. And I was impressed. I mean, impressive is an understatement. I can't wait to see that guy in the UFC. He's got a little bit of that, or a lot of it of that it factor.
Yeah.
There's something special about him, you know? Yeah.
Also, congratulations. I'm sorry about this. Sam Patterson.
Yes.
A great fight with Vinicius Sensi. Really good. He had a tough first round. He looked like he was in a lot of trouble. And
I'm not summing up all Brazilians, obviously, but Vinicius Sensi.
Yeah, right? I believe so. Yeah, I can't get my thing back up because I can't move my fucking mouse.
I don't know. It's hard to translate Portuguese, and they have a hard time saying in Portuguese, Versa Clima. They get tired, Jimmy. They got to listen. You don't need a Versa Clima. You got to run some fucking hills. Mm-hmm. Go, you know, to motivate yourself. Put the acai in the top of the hill. Run up there. Have a scoop. Listen.
Or do what I do. I briskly walk home from work. I briskly walk.
Yeah, because you're going to get fucking mugged. The city's
That's right.
Shithole.
I'm a brisk walker. It certainly is a shithole.
I used to walk into the fucking city. You remember?
Yeah.
Stoned as a monkey with the headphones on, fucking just walking around. And I'd have a song on. For instance, I'm listening to a song now by Dram called Cute. And it goes, I think you're cute. Ready? I think you're cute. Wait, Jimmy.
Yep.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh,
I think
sweet.
You're cute. So I'd be listening. I'd be like bopping up and down.
Sure.
And then I get a sip of espresso. I'm telling you about my whole day when I used to go to the city. And I'd sit in that little park near what is it, 36 or 36?
Yeah.
And 7th. And I'd sit there. I'd sip my espresso and I'd people watch. Not anymore, Jimmy. Now, I'd be like a little fucking snake pliston. I'd be like, arr! Anybody go? I'm not fucking around.
Did anybody bother you? Did anybody ever bother you on the train?
No, nobody bothers me.
See?
But they, what's going on, Jimmy? I just saw a thing the other day, one of my buddies sent me, and it was, I think it was, if it wasn't Penn Station, it was one of those. But this gentleman,
this fucking psychopath,
he's the opposite of a gentleman. Yeah. He's a fucking savage. He fucking chased down this girl.
Beat her up, yeah.
Kicking her in the fucking head. What happened to that girl? And then some guy with the help. And the guy looked at him, and the guy ran off.
You know what it was? This guy was legit nuts. She said he was mumbling about Satan and incoherent. Just another fucking mental patient. It's just frustrating.
And what happened to her? She all right?
They said she was close to losing her eye, but I saw a picture of her. She had like a stitch, but it looks like she's going to hopefully be okay for eyes.
Now, where is that guy? Is he out already?
I'm sure. They don't believe in holding people with for bail anymore. So I'm sure that... he's out and about, and I'm sure that maybe the mayor gave him a ride. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you, what a shit show, Jimmy.
You're not kidding. You mean my mouse not working? Yes, you're right, Matt.
How's your stand-up been, buddy?
It's great. I just did, I taped a CD. Yeah, which will be released. I was away in a lot of UFC Unfiltered fans, by the way, out in... Minneapolis, which was great. And I'm doing a gig tonight in the city. So if you ever want to come in on a Wednesday and hang out, feel free.
I think I will one of these nights.
You always say that.
Let's finish the, I do always say that. Just like you said.
I can't, Matt, you have to go.
We have dinner and we don't have dinner.
I would love to have supper.
I could have said.
I sneezed too at the exact same time.
You owe me a Coke.
We're like two women on our periods, run the same sneeze cycle. Matt, you're going to have to bring up the fights because I can't. My window is over my fucking. God damn it. This lousy computer. I have to do it on my phone.
You talked about Sam Patterson already. But Jack.
Oh, Jack Jenkins. Yeah.
I'll tell you. And he's a former rugby player. No, was that him? Yes. That is. He's a former rugby player and he trains with Volkanovski. He shows. And he's like, Dana's like, look. He showed off like his grappling and whatnot, but he's like, "Look, I heard he's a really good striker. I want to see
kickboxer,
some of that UFC." And he said, "Another night, maybe I wouldn't take him, but tonight I'm taking him."
Because it was the season finale. I love that. Yeah, he just made it in over Linares, and that was a great fight. I mean, that was a really nasty fight. I believe Linares was bleeding terribly on both sides of the octagon, and Jenkins just kept going. Just kept driving his elbow into that same spot. That was a really great fight.
Hey, the next one, the Battle of the Brazilians. I fucking love this fight. Now, listen, this is the reason being. Hold on.
Rafael Estevan, yeah.
Look, why don't you let me pronounce it?
Oh.
Rafael Estevan.
Yeah.
Rafael Estevan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm just happy I said it. But listen, Rafael versus... Elias. Yeah. Now, Elias, he was looking at, it's almost like a really, really dangerous striker just looking for the fucking KO hard and just fast paced. It's like that because he was going for submission. He's known for his arm bars, but he's also going for leg locks. He was going for triangles to arm bars to triangles.
Yeah.
And what happened was Rafael is so good in jiu-jitsu. He's from Nova Union.
You're the jiu-jitsu man, and I cannot open my windows.
But he's trained by Andre Pettinaris, okay? From Nova Union. I'm saying it, that's funny.
You're saying it, right?
Stop it. Anyway, listen. He has very good jiu-jitsu. So his positioning, the way he distributed his weight and on these attacks where other guys would have been probably submitted. I'll say 8 out of 10 guys. Let's not say 9 because some guys are good, really good at jiu-jitsu, but 8 out of 10 guys are getting tapped out.
Yeah.
He's one of the couple that's not. His jiu-jitsu was on point. There was a couple of, oh my God, he's going to get a knee bar and arm. He took it all away. And then as the fight went on, it's almost like, to make that comparison to a striker, a knockout guy doing it with now not as much pop in his punches.
Right.
So now he's going for these submissions, but you see, okay, he's putting everything into it, but everything is now a little less. Everything is, you see them coming. Rafael sees him coming. He's not only is he taking him away, he's taking him away, and this is the number one thing he's doing.
Yep.
When he's adding in these hammer fists and punching, Elias, the biggest thing, he's not managing the distance. He's offsetting the balance. He's looking for the submissions, but he's not either too close or too far. He's leaving him. And that might be great if you're in Abu Dhabi, if you're as far as a jiu-jitsu match.
Yeah.
Tournament, or if you're in a no-gi submission or jiu-jitsu match. But when it comes down to the art of just fighting, you got to have your jiu-jitsu on point where you managing your distance is a skill in itself. Okay. Because you're not used to getting hit in the face when you're looking for these fucking submissions. So, that, you know, between rounds, I thought that Elias's corner really was not on point. They did nothing but berate this kid. What are you doing? They were just saying, like, what happened?
They were kind of yelling, yelling in the third round, too,
Why don't you tell them, listen, man, well, exactly what I'm saying. Either
good God, they're yelling, good God. They're just kind of yelling shock at how poorly he's doing.
You know what? Guess who else is shocked? Elias, because his game plan's not working. Why don't you try to steer him? It's not about getting motivated for this kid. The kid's trying. He's trying to balls off.
Yeah.
But he's running out of fucking steam. How about the first 30 seconds of the next fucking round, you tell him to get on the bike? Circle, get your win back a little.
Yeah. Or
you got to give him some kind of, it's about, fuck it, let him survive first and then go to finish. He's about to get fucking hammered out. So I wasn't happy with that corner. I thought that corner was,
yeah, it's a good point.
I think it's French, the word shitté. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't, but it wasn't great. But all right, so that was that. And then lastly, last but not least, and he took out a Long Island guy with that gym. A gym changed at Long Island in May with my buddy LaFleur.
Yeah.
Right, LaFleur. And I didn't know that. I'm like, oh, a Long Island guy. I'm like, ah! And I saw him get taken out, but that happens.
Mendoza.
I see him knock him down. I'm like, how did he knock him out? You didn't see from the camera angle they showed in the replay the left hand that followed.
Yeah, so, yes.
Right? It looked like he hit him and it was like a delayed reaction or
he sat up a little bit and then all of a sudden he was laid flat the fuck out and you're like, well, you saw that left came in as he was going down.
I didn't see it at first.
Didn't either.
You know, but then I think you're cute. I think you're cute. Jimmy, oh yes, I do. Anyway, it's a fun song. Do you want to listen to it later on?
Well, yes, but after the show, we'll hop on.
DRAM.
No, wait. Let me ask you something. Before our guest, and she will be here very shortly.
Oh, you want me to play it? We can't hear it, but I can play it for you yourself.
Before Tabitha arrives. No. What I wanted to ask you is.
Yes.
We should maybe do. Let's just do a couple of picks. Maybe the main and co-main. I mean, it's a great Mackenzie Dern against Yan Shannon. I mean, that's a great fight. Although the Yan is on a two-fight losing streak, but that's a very interesting main event.
Excuse me. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, buddy. And I think I know who I'm going with.
Someone say to that.
I got to take.
Who?
How are you taking? I'm going to take Mackenzie. How are you going to take her? And when?
Well, split decision with that one.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm going to do.
That's fucking computer. Sorry.
I'm going to take Mackenzie Dern. And I'm going to say, now this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to say second round sub. Oh my God. Did I say that?
Ooh. Yeah.
That's annoying. I'm not going to do that again. But Jimmy, it's exciting that I said that.
But since you took Mackenzie,
yes. Oh,
I don't see. I don't see Jan losing three straight.
You played me, sir.
I was going to take Mackenzie, but now I'm like, no, that's no fun because then we're both picking Mackenzie, and we're competing for the king of UFC unfiltered picker. She did get knocked out by Sparza, and she lost a split to Marin Rodriguez. But I think Jan comes back.
Do you?
It's hard to pick against McKenzie. I mean,
it is really hard. And
but really- Giannis 15-3. McKenzie's 12-2. I'm gonna take Jan.
She's in the waiting room. Hold on. No, I'm gonna
second
keep
round one. Stoppage.
I was gonna say we save it for after, but let's just get Tabitha.
Tabitha Ricci. Let's bring her in right now.
Tabitha.
Well, she's trained with McKenzie, so it'll be interesting to see how she sees this.
It's Ricci, not Ricky.
I said Ricci.
I know, Jimmy. I'm like a bad little boy.
You're very fresh.
Let's talk to Tabitha. She's fighting Jessica Penny. Who's she supposed to fight?
Well, there she is.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hello.
Hello, Tabitha.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Awesome.
Sun's out, guns out. Go ahead. Let's see. Jimmy. Jimmy.
I can't. If I do it, I'll bump the microphone. I don't want to show off. I'm afraid I'll hurt the microphone. Now, Tabitha, who are you supposed to fight?
Well, I'm supposed to fight Cheyenne, the Warrior Princess.
And what happened?
Princess.
I don't know what happened, but I know that she had to pull out, and then now I'm fighting Jessica Penn.
What do you think about how soon was this replacement? How soon did they switch this off?
1 month ago.
All right.
Okay, so you guys have both had time to get ready for each other, yeah?
Yeah, we had enough time.
Do you watch a lot of tape on your opponent, or do you leave that to your coaches?
I do watch with my coach. We watch together. Not every time. We watch like one time, go through some fights. Like we select some fights, we watch it, and then we work on top of that. Yeah.
Now Jessica Penne, she's 39 years old. Now, I'm not going to listen. It's not nice to say with women with their age and everything.
Yeah,
but if I was your trainer, I would be like, you better push this, B. She's a 40-year-old. You're 27. Guess this bitch. That's what I would say. But I wouldn't, I clean up the language, but that's what I would say. Are your opponent, are your trainers letting you know, look, you're the young gun here.
Yeah.
Let's put it on her. I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah. We talk about that too. So that's on the game plan too. That's
about taking her late into the fight, if possible.
Push the pace on it.
I think she's laughing because I think her coach said in Portuguese the same exact thing I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar.
Now you've trained with how much training did you do with McKenzie?
Well, we met once a week, Fridays. We do sparring training because she lives very far from me. So on Friday is usually the sparring day. So we get a group of girls and we try to get together to get a good session.
Oh, okay. And what do you think about this main? I think this is a really interesting main event between her and Jan Chanan. What do you think of that fight? And how do you see that ending up?
Well, I think McKenzie, she's so ready. She looks very good in the gym. And I'm pretty sure she can finish the fight.
Tabitha, it says judo in BJJ. What did you start your martial arts with? What was your first discipline?
In judo. My dad's master in judo. And he put me in the martial arts when I was 6 years old or younger. And that's how I started getting love for that. And I never stopped it since that.
And then how soon after did you start jiu-jitsu?
I started jiu-jitsu when I was 17 because I got proposed to my Muay Thai gym if I want to do MMA fight. And I was looking at the study and said, oh, I need to do jiu-jitsu. And then that's why I started jiu-jitsu, for fighting MMA. Yeah.
Oh, you started it specifically so you could go into MMA?
Yes, yes.
But how was that transition? Because you were already used to the judo. So you had to be already familiar with some chokes and some arm bars.
Yeah. I was already knew arm bars, chokes, you know, everything that we can do in judo. So actually I got my blue belt with 6 months.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I notice that you have a baby shark you're holding.
I do.
Now, when that Nick, now listen, do you come out to the song though? Do you?
I did in my last fight. I did a remix with the Jaws, the movie Jaws and the Baby Shark.
The Baby Shark. I'll tell you, if you came out with just the Baby Shark song, you might win before you get in the cage.
It would drive your opponent to quit. Your opponent would quit if you came out to that song.
It might be like, I don't know. Did that song get too crazy? You hear it a lot?
Oh, my God. And actually, I try don't hear much because I keep singing on my head over and over and over. It's kind of annoying sometimes.
Yeah, it's called an earworm. It just gets in there and it just stays and it doesn't stop.
Yes.
Now, when you were taking judo before you said you wanted to do MMA, did you plan on doing anything with judo, or what did you want to do with your life? Did you want to be a fighter, or did you just take judo because you loved it?
I was taking judo because I love it, but every sport that I was playing or doing it, I always want to compete. So I always want to try. I want to be the best one in all the sport that I was doing. So I want to compete. I want to challenge myself. Doesn't matter which sport was it. I actually did a lot. I did basketball, football, everything, volleyball.
American football or soccer?
No, soccer.
Oh, you played soccer. Yeah. Were you any good at those?
I was good in basketball, but not much in soccer.
Oh, okay. Now, were you not good in soccer? Were you not fast enough, or were you just your feet not coordinated? Because I suck in soccer. I tried it. Like I just can't do it.
I just, I think I like more the grappling style, but I didn't fell much in love with the soccer as the feeling that I had doing a judo or jiu-jitsu or...
Right, because somebody runs by and you can't grab them. You want to grab them and just throw them on the ground.
Yeah, I want to grab it. I like to do, I know, we grapplers, we like to do power things, you know, like...
I feel bad for judo. Judo gets a tough... Judo is so effective, you know, but you're not going to see a judo school on every block. Jiu-jitsu is blowing up. You see a lot of jiu-jitsu schools now.
Yes.
Obviously, boxing, Muay Thai, they're very, girls will use it just to get in shape. Yeah. Like, but judo is so rough on the body that it'll only get to a certain level of popularity and then everybody's like, you ask anybody, and listen, I know I got a new knee recently with my jiu-jitsu, but everybody that's done judo for a long time, like, yeah, I gotta do it. Right? And their back, their neck, judo is
like it's like wrestling. Wrestling is very rough and tough in the body too, I feel. Yeah.
You know what? So is American football. I guess a lot of shit.
Yeah. Why is judo so much rougher than is it all the throws?
I believe it.
Yes, all the throws. You get slammed all the time, you know. I think that's rough in the body. But I think judo is one of the sports can give you a lot of base for any sport that you do in the whole entire world. You know, it's not just the base of the techniques for learning another martial arts, but I think more deep the philosophy the judo brings for people, you know, the respect that you have for your coach, for your teammates. You know, I think judo gives us a lot of philosophy on the martial arts. That's what I really appreciate in judo too.
And so a lot of the jiu-jitsu schools are a bunch of stoners, right? They're like, hey, man, put it up. Right?
Jiu-jitsu gives us a good base, but in terms of philosophy and respectful, I think judo is the most one, yeah.
That's and your father was he was a champion judo fighter. Did he compete
yes he competed a lot of awards, master awards. He actually is still competing.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
What does he think? What does he think of your career? He has to be over the moon with this.
He's super proud of me, and that was my biggest goal: make my family and the people that I love proud of me. So I'm achieving that right now. So that's very I'm very happy for that. And they're like all exciting. Actually, in the fight week, they cannot even sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you now? Do you have your family around you during a fight, or do you like to see them after?
I wish I could have them all my fight weeks with me, but they're living in Brazil. And my last fight in Gasconiana, I had a chance, an opportunity to bring my mom and my dad, but for this time, I cannot bring them all the time. You know.
Oh, okay. Oh, but they came up for the last one.
They came for the last one, and it was pretty cool.
What part of Brazil? Oh, there.
Oh, go ahead. What part of Brazil we were asking?
São Paulo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never been to São Paulo. I landed there. I went to Rio with some friends, and we landed there. So I spent about an hour in the São Paulo airport, and it was very nice. But I've never spent time in the city.
Yeah, it's super cool, São Paulo.
Jimmy, I
live in a small city from São Paulo called Birigui. São Paulo is huge.
Yeah.
So I live in a small city, like 100,000 people.
Isn't there like 20 million people in São Paulo? It's a massive city.
Yes, it's a massive one. Yeah.
Matt, have you been or no?
I've been to Rio. I've been to Barra de Juca. Copacabana.
Yeah, Copacabana.
That's beautiful.
I had acai on the beach. I had a good time.
Acai is my go-to every day.
It's so good, isn't it? It feels like you're cheating. Good. Jimmy, it's not the same as ice cream, like you say. It's different.
No, it's not. But I mean, it looks like ice cream, and it tastes... Hey. It's better than ice cream because you feel like you're eating at least kind of healthy.
Hey, Tabitha, when you're not training, okay, something besides training, what's a hobby you like? Are you big into books? Are you watching some shows on Netflix? Tell us some of your hobbies.
That's hard because I'm always training, you know. Training is my hobby.
Downtime. No active rest when you're going for a hike either. None of that. Are you watching any shows? Or are you reading any books?
I read a book. Actually, I'm reading that book here. I have here with me.
It better not be The Adventures of Baby Shark. Oh no, here we go. What is it?
Is that Kobe Bryant's strength conditioning coach that wrote this book about winning? And it's very, it's super deep, very like, I love read that type of book, you know, motivating stuff. Yeah.
Smile. So, you're not wasting any time. This is great.
And Sao Paulo has 12 million people, by the way. 12 million. I was wrong. It is 12 million.
You just Googled?
I just Googled it because I said there was 20 million people, and people who live there will probably go, Jim, you're a fucking idiot. There's only 12 million. So I wanted to make sure I corrected myself.
Okay. That's important.
Yes. I don't want to piss people off. So you, when you read basically for information on how to make yourself a better fighter. It's almost all work related. Yeah.
Always. And that's what I like, you know? So I always try. I think there's always something that we can get better. Always something that sometimes we think we're doing everything good, everything correct, but there's always something that we can do more. So that's what I look for. Yeah.
Well, Tabitha, look, have a great fight on Saturday. It was great talking to you. And I'm sure that if you're looking at getting ranked if you beat Jessica.
Yes, I look forward to getting the rank and keep building myself up.
We'll talk to you again. All right, have a great fight. It was fun talking to you.
That was fun, guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Tabitha Ricci, thanks very much.
Take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
bye.
We'll talk to you again. Bye.
Oh, Jimmy. I was going to say, when she leaves, she's lovely, right? That was nice.
Very nice. Very nice person. And holding the shark, like you said. Yeah.
Holding the baby shark. Yeah. Do, baby shark.
That would be a great walkout song just to drive everybody fucking crazy.
Oh, my God. I mean, everybody would hate her. They'd be like, bah! You know? What about when Misha Tate used to eat the cupcake? Wasn't she cupcake?
She was cupcake, yeah. I'm sure she still is.
Cupcake in the audience. That gimmick didn't work for me.
No.
Throw that cupcake.
How about this?
Throw that cupcake. Keep that cupcake away from Aspen Ladd.
Man, you're such a dick. And Hamzat.
Hey, big report. Somebody stole Misha Tate's cupcake. Quick, check Aspen Lad's locker. Anyway, listen. Fuck it. Everybody, listen to me, Jimmy. We have
Francisco Trinaldo against our buddy Randy Brown as the co-main. That's a good co-main, too. What do you think?
Who?
Randy Brown against Trinaldo.
You know, listen, I'm a little biased. Randy Brown is
a friend, yeah.
leave Aspen Ladd alone. All right?
Agreed.
All right? Leave her alone.
Agreed.
Listen to me. She didn't go near the what he calls cupcakes.
Yes,
but here's what I was going to say. I feel that, listen, some fighters get old overnight. I don't know if this is the night that he gets old, Trinaldo, but he is kind of old. He's a 44 years old.
It's crazy.
Randy Brown, it's his time now. Come on, Randy Brown. Yeah. Now you got to – it's not that you should take him out. You got to take him out.
Yeah.
You want to be a champion. You want to make some waves. This guy's 45. Send him into retirement. I'm crying, Obi.
Yeah.
All right, listen. What else before the dustbuster goes on?
Yeah, I know. They just started. Listen, thank you to our guest, Tabitha Ricci and Alir Latifi. Really fun to talk to. And we'll talk again, Matt. You and I always talk over the weekend.
Yes.
We'll talk before this fight, Dern against Shannon. That's a great fight. And, you know.
Hey, when is the fight? When is it?
Oh, I should actually. I just closed my thing.
I'm sorry.
It's Saturday night.
But, it's Saturday night.
At the
You know what? I'm going to say when it is.
Yes, buddy.
Now, it's October 1st at the Apex.
What time, though? We just want to get the
time. What time? I see that on the prep sheet. Now we're looking for a time. Ready?
Yeah,
I'm going to appear from Jake the Mighty Ginger. Ready? Like I'm doing a spell.
No, I bet it's here. It's here. It's fight night. It is October 1st, 2022. Is there a time here? No, but you're right. I apologize.
There's no goddamn time, you crazy ginger.
Damn you, Jake.
Jake,
what time is it, Jake?
So good.
Jake, you're going to wake my kids, Jake.
You going to bother me about a steak? Oh,
5 o'clock. Stop with Pacific, Jake. No
Pacific
one uses
time,
Pacific.
Jake.
It's 8 o'clock.
God damn it.
5 o'clock Pacific. No one says that. It's 8 o'clock East Coast time.
I have so much fun.
No one has ever said that's the first time I ever saw a PST ever.
We like to give our listen. Now you know you're getting. You're welcome to the show, Jake the Mighty Ginger. Now you know
Jake knows. He knows that was a terrible error. Nobody puts Pacific Coast.
God damn. Oh, just add 3 hours, everybody. You'll find out what time it is.
Yeah. Listen. 8 o'clock East Coast time. Figure out the rest.
Wait, what time is it? It's 8 o'clock East Coast time.
8 o'clock New York time.
Okay.
New York. Jimmy, fuck East Coast. New York time.
What are you doing this weekend? Fat Black Pussycat?
No, I'm not. I'm just doing like the comedy cell. Yeah. Wait a minute. Up. He said he fucked up. It's 7 o'clock Eastern time. What time Pacific time, Jake? Four?
No,
let's make sure, because I don't think Jake knows his time zones. Jake doesn't know his times tables.
Jake, you're the man. You're with us.
4 o'clock. Okay, he's right. 7 o'clock New York time.
Yes.
At the Apex. Great, great fight.
Jimmy, I will be talking to you shortly in a couple of days.
Right. Yes, you will. See you soon, buddy.
Goodbye, everyone. So much fun. Baby.
Bye.
Shark dude.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.